Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And good morning to you, David Williams.
Good morning, Levon.
Well, many folks who hear your voice and hear your name know that you are a master gardener. You have long experience in terms of gardening and lawn care and landscaping. So, David, I had somebody mention to me that their coneflowers have these funny little interesting flowers on them. And so I asked you about them, and I'm going, oh, no. So let's talk about that disease.
Yeah, it's really kind of disappointing because it is kind of an interesting look on the plant, but it is not good. And if you notice a disfigured or different type of bloom on your coneflowers, especially, it's what we're seeing a lot right now. It's aster yellows.
Aster yellows, but it affects so many plants.
It does. It's amazing how many, not only flowering plants, but in your vegetable garden, you really want to watch it too.
Yes.
That's why it's very important to keep it weed-free and, you know, kind of watch for the bugs. This disease is actually spread by leaf hoppers mainly, and we do have plenty of those around here, but they actually get the disease from infected weeds or other plants. So if you do have something infected, it's very important that you just pull it out of the ground and destroy it. You need to put it in a bag. Do not compost it. Put it in a bag and throw it away.
Okay. Now, let's talk just a little bit more about leafhoppers, since they're the carrier of this disease from plant to plant. If I were going to look for leafhoppers, what would I look for?
Well, the leafhopper is a pretty small insect. It's less than a half an inch long, and the telltale sign of leafhopper, or if you're looking at one, they have kind of a, I call it a tent-shaped or V-shaped pattern of their wings. They have quite long wings that cover the body, and they have, I mean, they're tiny. If you've got really good eyesight, you'll notice the large eyes on each side of their head, but for the most part, the thing that you're going to look for is a little V-shaped bug on the stem of the plant, and they are one of those bugs that is a sucking bug. They'll pierce the stem or leaf of the plant and suck the sap out.
Okay.
They also carry this disease. It's a bacteria that can live in the bug, and they can bite into a infected weed or plant, and within 10 days, that bacteria has incubated in their body, and they're sharing it with every plant that they hop onto.
Okay, so we've mentioned coneflowers because that's where I saw mine first. But we need to keep our eyes open on lots of other, even tomatoes.
Tomatoes?
I even hate to say that, David.
I know. As much as we love our tomatoes here, but they are susceptible. I'm not saying they've got the leafhopper or the disease, but that's why it is really important to monitor your plants, especially this hot, dry time of year. We are seeing a lot more insects than we are disease so much, you know, especially leaf spot and things. But this aster yellows disease is really noticeable this time of year.
So keep your eyes open on all of your plants, I guess, for other kinds of things too. But if you have coneflowers, start with those. But look at your marigolds, your asters.
Plant list that's affected by them. And really, the best thing, Levon, I think if you see a disfigured flower, don't even take a chance. Pull that plant out and get rid of it.
Yeah. You know, I have to say, David, I had some new hot papaya coneflowers, and guess who has aster yellows?
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
it's
anyhow.
It's very disheartening.
It is. But I when I complain about that, I'm thinking about all of the farmers who are concerned about their corn and their beans and their hay and so on. So
right.
Then I go, okay, let's put this in perspective. I can't complain too long.
Moving on,
somebody had mentioned their irises are looking really brown. And
The iris are kind of having a tough time because, you know, really, you got to think about this. We've had a very long growing season already this year. Started very early, and some of those good old plants are just plain tired. So it's a good time to go out there and give them a good haircut. July is the month that, you know, it's always hot and dry. You would never dig and divide anything, but that's when you dig and divide iris. So they're going to be fine. Even if you're not digging and dividing, just give them a good haircut. Get rid of that old foliage. There could be some leaf spot and other diseases on that old foliage. So if you get that cut off now and get rid of it, don't compost it. If it's infected with anything, and the iris will be a lot happier. It's going to rain again. Who knows when?
Sometime.
Yeah.
And peonies, should we be trimming those back right now too?
You know, the peonies, for the most part, are hanging in there pretty good. And there again, this is the time of year where they start to look pretty tough. If they are wilting, I'd say go ahead and trim them back. They're going to come back fine next year. But if they're still looking good and green, leave them alone.
Okay. Now, talking about wilting and leaving them alone, et cetera, let's talk about watering, because I know lots of people are out there watering, but some people, like me, have a concern because they have wells, and my well can go dry.
Right.
And, others in town, you have
your
a bill.
Water bill.
Yeah, you have a water bill to pay.
Yeah.
So watering, how can we best use the water we're going to use on our plants?
Well, there's a lot to be said for wise watering, and I think the time of day is critical. It's best to do it early in the morning or early in the evening. It's best not to put the plants with a lot of water, especially on the foliage at night going into the darkness, because that's when a lot of the molds and things will start to appear. So the first tip is always water on the soil, not on the plant, unless you're doing it in the morning. Then it's got the daytime to dry off good.
But it's better use of water. I mean, where the plant needs the water is on the roots.
Right.
So that's the best use of your water, right?
Exactly. The best use is right on the soil. So, various plants, annuals, if that's all you're growing and you want to water them, there again, water the soil, water the pot itself, whatever you've got them in. But try not to water as much over the plant and getting the foliage wet. And there again, early morning, early evening, trees and shrubs, especially those new ones. And, a lot of people think new is just this year or maybe last year, but go back 5 years. If you've planted any good perennial tree or shrub, something that you're expecting to come back year after year, you need to give it a little extra help. And there again, a good deep watering less often is going to encourage those roots to really grow out into the soil. I think one of the biggest problems we have is we go out there and put a little shot of water on every day. And what we're doing is telling that plant, hey, there's an endless supply of water. I'm just going to grow a bunch of short roots and be fine. So do a good deep watering and do it a little less often.
Okay, that old guideline, 1 inch every week, applies to most plants?
That's right. Okay. Most plants it does. There are some that really love their water, and when you get into the shade gardening especially, typically it's moist shade that we're doing, like hostas and patients and the annuals. There's a variety of plants, but most of the shade gardening plants are really moisture lovers too. So there again, the same rule applies. Just do a good deep watering and do it less often, and those plants are going to respond and perform for you so much better.
But if they're in the shade, they're a little better off. I mean, that's the one thing I found. Some of my plants that are in the shade are doing really well without a lot of watering, just because they're in the shade.
True.
And the other thing that we might mention, if you haven't mulched stuff before, this would be a good time to mulch.
Exactly. Great time to mulch. And even compost, if you've got your own compost pile, great. Make sure and use that. I've been mulching a lot recently with compost, and the plants really seem to like it, and it does keep the weeds down, and the main thing, keeps the moisture in the soil.
Absolutely, and kind of shades those roots and so
right.
on. And, if you don't have other kind of compost and you get newspapers, hey, newspapers work.
Exactly.
So you don't have to spend a lot of money on compost. So,
yep, there's a lot of good things there. The newspaper, cover it with grass clippings. If you are using grass clippings as a mulch, you want to make sure and rough that area up good in the fall, because grass clippings can compact and actually repel water. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing grass clippings as a mulch, which is okay, it's a good thing to do, but make sure every fall and tear that bed up good and let the air and moisture down in through
okay.
there.
Okay. So make your decisions wisely about watering if that's what you're going to do. And make you keep your plants as happy as possible. But, you know, it's decision time. So be out there looking. Go out early in the morning. It's to take that little walk around and pull some of those things if they're having a problem, because it's a little cooler in the morning, and your plants will love you. You've put a lot of work into them, so let's take care of them now.
That's right.
Thank you so much, David Williams, for visiting with us. And until next time, here's a thought. There are no gardening mistakes, only experiments.